Well, good morning. It's good to look out and see so many people here. And good morning to those online. Welcome. We're glad you could spend time with us. While we're happy that you're online with us, we pray that if the occasion rises, you would come back and be with us or come back and visit us. We'd love to have you in person. I got to begin this morning with an apology. I owe LaWanna an apology. I took one of your waters. It's that time of year. Can you do everything? Are you asked to do everything sometimes? It sometimes seems like it, right? The title of our lesson today is The Lonely Man. And where I'm going with that, and I want you to ruminate on it for a little while, as we live in a society, if you can't do everything by yourself, well, you're weak. If you can't do what's asked of you without getting help, well, you're just weak. As I said, we live in a society where it's considered a weakness when you need help. But I beg to differ. And I believe the Bible differs on that mindset, on that opinion. See, what I want to look at today regarding the lonely man is that people are designed to have other people around them. What I mean to say is the lonely man is really not a natural thing. I mean, that's the way God made us collectively, to be able to lean on others for help. To be able to lean on one another when we can't do it ourselves. Man was never meant to be an island. Man was never meant to be alone. Yet a lot of societies around the world have made it that way, that not just our society, but consider it a weakness. If you can't do everything that's asked of you by yourself. And as I said, I don't believe the Bible teaches that, and I don't believe that that's the way it is. Man was made to have companionship from the get-go. As we look at Genesis chapter 2, and we get the account of creation, the Lord God said in verse 18, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." And I know what you're thinking. Well, that's why he made him a wife. But did God say, "It is not good for man to be alone. I'll make a wife for him"? He did do that. But he said, "I'll make a helper for him." Because a wife is so much more. And I know this sermon is not about that, but a wife is a helper, a companion, someone to lean on. If I'm wrong, let me know, because maybe I'm doing it wrong. But I don't believe I am, because I believe the Bible teaches it, all of that. So God made Adam a helper when he made his wife. It wasn't good for man to be alone. And that's the way God remedied for man to be alone, for not being alone. And then we see Proverbs. You know, this is not an isolated case, is it? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. The proverb writer reminds us how important it is to have friends. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You gotta have those ties, don't you? As I said, man is not an island. And nowhere in Scripture have I seen that man is just made to do everything himself, to be alone, make all the decisions himself, face all the toils and troubles of life himself. And elsewhere in the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, starting in verse 9, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and no one is there to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. The Proverbs writer, or the Ecclesiastes writer, probably the same, Solomon, tells us that friends can complement one another. Friends help one another. And that it's not good to be alone. Because they watch each other's backs. Don't they? I mean, how many things in life do you know of where everybody goes out in twos? Because you got to have people's backs. I want someone watching my back, don't you? And then you see in the New Testament, John chapter 15. I'm not sure if your Bible has read, but John chapter 15, the entirety of it's read. Jesus is speaking. And he says in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. He uses friendship to show a change in the relationship with his disciples. You are not only servants now, you are my friends. Can you imagine the feeling that the disciples had? Here is the Son of God, the Messiah, in the flesh, and we've been following this guy around because of our faith, and then he says, you're not my servants. You're my friends. How special is that? But how much does that shine on the importance of friends and friendships and the difference between the relationship of friends? A lot of people have friendships in this life that last a lifetime, don't they? I mean, friends that maybe you might be separated from, but as soon as you get back together, you can pick right up where you left off. Where there's nothing between y'all, no animosity, no anything, and it's all good. The love for one another is there. A true friendship is something to be cherished. And God knew that. Jesus knew that when he called the disciples his friends, that would make a difference. And I believe in their heart, I bet their heart just leapt. Son of God called me a friend. And if you're a Christian, you probably know what I'm about to say. If you're a Christian, no one has to be without companionship. We have our brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on. We can read in Scripture that Acts 2 describes it. Right at the beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and the many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. To fully understand the context of that, you have to understand the context of the day of Pentecost. All the Jews around the area, and all the male Jews especially, came to Jerusalem from all around. They weren't at home. And all of a sudden, they heard that Pentecost sermon. And they became Christians. And they stayed there. Because this is some good stuff. This is amazing. This is not like we've been practicing. This is new. And look at the things that the apostles are doing. Look at the miracles. I know what they're saying is true. They weren't at home. They had maybe just a few days worth of clothes, maybe a few days worth of money for food. And yet they stayed, and it said that nobody had need. Whatever was taken care of, or whatever had to be taken care of, was taken care of. I imagine it got pretty expensive to stay at an inn the whole time if you were just barely making it and you saved up enough money to go to Jerusalem. Oh, you need a couch to lay on? No problem, man. Come over to the house. You're worried about what to eat? Don't worry about it. I got you. And you see that in the beginning church. The companionship of the fellow Christians, one with another. They had everything in common. They looked after one another. But that's not where it stops with Christians, is it? See, because after you join the church, after you're baptized into the church, there's a lot more work to do in there. There's life. And sometimes life gets pretty heavy. And James chapter 5, in verse 16, James tells the church something. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Confess your sins to each other. See, Christians aren't perfect, are they? See, there's some things that I struggle with that you don't. There's some things that you struggle with that somebody else doesn't. And when we are open and transparent and confess our sins to one another, we can know what to pray for each other, isn't it? That's kind of like leaning on each other, isn't it? I have this problem and I want you to help me with it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says something almost the exact same. In pretty much the same context. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens. Help each other. Because you can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. I need you, you need me. We all need each other. And fortunately, because we're Christians, we have each other. And then you look at chapter 6. Stay on that page. Go down to verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those that belong to the family of believers. See, Christians have a command, a duty to do what is good to everyone, especially to the family of faith, especially to believers, to fellow Christians. I mean, I know we left James, but James chapter 1, verse 27, James says, religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is what? To look after widows and orphans in their distress. See, we are told as Christians to help people. Help everybody. But be there for your brothers and sisters in Christ when they need someone to lean on. For a lot of people, one of the hardest things for us to do is what? Ask for help. And I don't know, maybe it's a societal norm that it's sometimes embarrassing to ask for help, to admit that you don't have things all together, to admit that maybe you can't do it on your own. But I want you to look at it a little bit different today. If you don't ask for help, you keep the rest of us from doing what we're told to do. Have you ever thought about it like that? See, I know our brothers and sisters in Christ will help anybody that asks for help. But all we have to do is ask, right? If I don't know that you need help, then I'm not going to help you. If you don't know that I need help, you're not going to help me. But when you don't ask me to help you, you keep me from doing what I need to do. And when I don't ask you to help me, I keep you from doing what you need to do. See the way that works? When the church is being that true religion, then we're going to lean on each other for anything and everything. And finally, when you have a relationship with God, you always have someone with you. You're never alone. You know, it kind of reminds me of David. We're not going to turn to it because I can't remember where it is. It's in Psalms. But he says, where can I go from you, Lord? If I'm in the heights or in the depths, where can I go from you? Where can I hide from you? Nowhere. That's a rhetorical question, right? I cannot be where you aren't. God, you created everything. You're in everything and over everything. I can never be where you're not, is what David is saying. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. As our brother read this morning, God will be with you wherever you go. He told that to the Israelites, but it holds true today. God is with you wherever you go. Because you can't go anywhere that God is not. James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter how far you have walked away from God, if you turn to God, He will turn to you. James tells the Christians that, doesn't he? There's a special relationship there. But with God, A lonely place doesn't have to mean you're alone, does it? As our other brother read, Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Everybody heard about Jesus. They were coming out bringing their sick and their disease to heal their sicknesses. And it says Jesus went off to a lonely place. Jesus went off to a wilderness to take time to pray. And we see in the garden, don't we? Jesus went off three times away from everybody else to pray. But he wasn't alone, was he? God was right there with him. Loneliness doesn't necessarily mean you're alone. Physical loneliness doesn't necessarily mean you are alone. And it doesn't have to be that way, does it? When we feel like no one else is around to help us, Jesus is always there to help us. Last scripture I want you to turn to. Matthew. Chapter 11. Most of you recognize where I'm going. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There are times in life when something is going on that's too big for us. I know everyone here has experienced that. There are times in life where it feels like life is on your shoulders, pushing you down, and it takes everything to get up. Guess what? At that point, at that time in life where you're being pushed down, that's when you need to make sure you give that to Jesus. Whatever it is that's pushing you down, whatever in life is holding you down and seems so unbearable that you can't move underneath the strain, that's when you need to give that to Jesus. Let Him do the heavy lifting for you. He's able to do it. He wants to do it. But you just have to give Him the opportunity to do it, don't you? So the lonely man. I think, as I said, the lonely man is an anomaly. The lonely man is an unnatural thing. Because as we looked at this morning, God doesn't want you to be alone. If you're a Christian, you sure don't have to be alone, do you? And if you have a relationship with God, you're never alone. So the lonely man shouldn't really exist. No matter what society says, needing help while going through life is not a weakness. It's something that we're all going to do. It's something that every person who takes a breath on this earth is going to have to do. It's the way that we are made. The lonely man doesn't have to be lonely after all, though, does he? The benefits of being in a Christian relationship family are going to make that life so much easier, isn't it? So let me ask you this. Are you in a Christian relationship? Are you in a Christian family? Are you a member of the Lord's church? Have you been baptized into Christ to have your sins washed away, to walk in newness of life? If not, why not? You're carrying life's load by yourself. God wants to take it. God wants you to give it to Him. If you have this need or any others, We want you to make it known to us. How can we help you? How can we do what we're supposed to do? Let us know. Please come forward. While together we stand and sing this song of invitation.